Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Roy. So, Roy, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, my name is Roy Tai, and what I do for a living is I'm a director, and I own a production company here in Burbank.
Awesome. So, can you tell me more about your company, how you got the idea to start it, and what it's all about?
It wasn't really so much of an idea as more out of a necessity. I went to film school when I was 17, 18, I think 18 right out of high school. And then after that, I didn't really want to work in like on set as like a grip or an electric or film school. The one I was at was more training you for those typical type of jobs. And I was more interested in, you know, writing and directing and doing that with having a career inside of that and acting as well. And then, so I didn't finish film school and I just went and got regular jobs working. And then over time, you know, my friend Jason Kirby, who I met in film school, who I still work with to this day, actually, which is a long time ago. I'm getting old. But he bought a camera, and this was back when SD cameras started to make a really big push, like prosumer grade video cameras. Mini DV cams were making a push, and Sony came out with a prosumer grade digital camera that, because at the time I think that people were still shooting on film, but like digital cameras were being used for big features, but like they're really expensive and totally different than what you see today. So a prosumer grade came out that wasn't just like your cheesy little handy cam for your home videos. It was kind of like the first in between. And so he bought one, and that was a big deal for all of us because we were like, oh, wow, Jason has a camera. So we would go shoot club videos together and then sell those videos back to the promoters. And then the promoters were like, oh, this is – and also, too, YouTube wasn't around at that time. So putting a video on the internet was a massive deal, right? You know, like – so his partner at the time – started a website called DJ Vibe, and he was a tech guy who knew how to like make websites and code, and then he was able to put videos on the internet. Obviously it was like very low quality, and this was like, you know, that's when it was like really hard to do that stuff, where nowadays you could just use like ChatGPT to make you a website. So he kind of got the whole thing started with that. So we would always shoot and edit, you know, to make some money on the side of our day jobs. And then just over time, like then I ended up getting a camera. I took out a loan and bought a camera and a new computer and sound gear to $10,000. And then started producing and acting in my own web series at the time, The Backshop Show. This is 2009 now. And then from there, I was able to get a contract with Coors Light. This is all in Canada too, by the way, in Vancouver. And I was able to get a contract with Coors Light, shooting like club videos for them, like promotional material. And out of that, you know, I had to incorporate, right? Because they didn't like, you know, I kind of landed the gig out of not really knowing what I'm doing. And then, like in the sense of like doing business, like I knew how to like shoot and edit, but like definitely like doing business, I didn't know anything about it. So I was like, oh yeah, that will kind of look unprofessional if they're going to like pay Roy Tai to his personal checking account. So like, out of necessity, I incorporated Thailand Productions, which my roommate thought was like a really cool name. He's the one who came up with it. And then, so I was like, all right, cool. This Thailand Productions, I like it. My last name's Thai, you know, I kind of always do my own thing. So perfect. So we incorporated it into that. And then from there, just things just slowly grew and grew and grew one day at a time. And then I moved to Los Angeles in 2011. And, continued doing what I was doing essentially in Vancouver, you know? So I just built up a skill set really. And then like being able to shoot and edit myself. And then that skill set started to pay bills and paying for things. And then it just, like, the company just grew and grew and grew, where, like, obviously I'm not doing everything on set anymore. Thailand Productions is the production company. And then I'm working as the director, but until we shoot, I'm running the business as a business and hiring people and getting the production ready. And then when we come to shoot, then I step in as the director role, and then my producers take over as producers and running the business. And then when we're done shooting, I step back into the business owner role. And then,
it makes sense. So in terms of, like, so you mentioned, obviously, you know, some years ago that Coors Light was your first client or one of your first clients. Mm-hmm. So obviously now in 2023, there's things have changed a lot since you were, you know, first getting started, and even, like, you know, social media, YouTube, there's a different, I'm sure, taste for content. So in terms of today, like, what are you, you know, like, what industry are you serving? And also, like, what type of content are you filming and producing?
Okay. So you answer your first question, like, what industry I'm serving, correct? I guess the industry I'd be serving, I guess I'm in the film and television industry, but the industry I'd be serving then would be multimedia, right? Like commercials for television and online content as well. So marketing materials, like marketing industry would be, I guess, a good way to put it. I guess I work in the marketing industry. You know, Bill Hicks joke. It's he always had a good joke. He's like, anyone in here who is at advertising, just blow your brains out right now. He's like, if you're just doing it to make a living, but for you guys who are selling us shit we don't need, just blow your brains out right now. Oh man, I've become what Bill Hicks has always hated. Darn it. I work in the marketing side of things. So a lot of commercials for TV.
But I guess, like, you know, just to be, like, more specific, obviously you can be doing commercials for TV, right? But it's like, I mean, you know, when you were first starting, you were working in the alcohol space. So is that sort of, So, or is it, you know, any industry across the board? Because obviously the way you're going to film a commercial for a beverage company is going to be different than you're going to film it for a car company, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I'll do, in that sense, like, best way I'd put it is those are just like videography gigs, right? Like for Coors Light and like club videos, that's more of like videography work, where what I was doing there is just like essentially like beer brands. You can't show people drinking on TV, right? But what we were filming in the clubs, so this was more for like job security for the marketing team for Coors Light. So Coors Light was doing live events, right? And they would bring in these things called cold parties. So for them, they would spend all this money on throwing this like live event. Like they bring in a known DJ, ice sculpture, have all this like stuff blowing down, you know, dancers and stuff. So like we really, like to put it bluntly, we really were coming in there just to document all that and then cut it together in a fun way that then he would be able to show like his superiors. Like at the end of the year, like, oh, we did 5 cold parties, like Coors Light cold parties, and here's what they look like. And then all like the brand, like his bosses, like in the corporate world are like, oh, that's really cool. Like let's keep doing those. You know what I mean? So it was like twofold. It was like, they liked it to be able to like show everyone what they're doing, but they couldn't put it on TV or really put it online because it was like people were drinking, right? Sometimes they'd use little things for like little promotions on like web stuff, but never like anything like that for TV. So it was more of just like job security and what they're spending their money on for, you know, their higher ups. That was really just kind of what we were there to do. So in that sense, their only pressure was to just make sure you're filming what looks like costs money. So that was like our mindset, right? Like if that looks expensive, shoot it. You know what I mean? That was it. And then cut it together in a fun way. So going like working in that's just like a, like I would just say that's a videography gig where that world exists. That's like a completely different industry. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, it's him and another guy or two people. They just got some cameras and some editing ability, and they'll just shoot videography things, right? Like document an event or, you know, shoot something very simple for like a small business, right? Like there's not like a lot of budget there. You're really just paying for the two people's time, you know? We're now working in the field that I'm working in now, like with TCL, right? We just did a commercial with TCL, was with the NFL, and Justin Herbert was the star of the commercial, right? So that is like now a real commercial that they're using for advertising. So like the difference in that space now is like, you know, it's they're breaking down the entire storyboard, like the creative concept of what they want to do. Like I come on board then and start helping putting that together in the sense of like, this is going to be a television commercial. So I'm seeing things from the lens of like, A, it has to be 30 seconds or is it a minute? You know what I mean? Like what shots are we going to get that are going to fit that time? You know what I mean? Cause they usually want to do a lot, right? Like they don't think of things from like a film perspective. They're thinking it from an advertising perspective. So it's like, my job then becomes like, okay, let's just get everyone communicating, right? Like they're trying to get across why their product is really good. Obviously advertising is they're trying to sell that, hey, we have the best TVs on the market. And then, you know, the film side is like, oh, how cool and cinematic can we make it look? So we got to get everyone on the same page, right? So that's like a very drastically different world from like videography work when I was, you know, 2009 to where, you know, this year where we're handling an entire campaign. And, you know, then you're dealing with like a lot of personalities, right? Because like Justin, he's not an actor, right? He's a football player. So it's like he has his team and how they would like things done on camera. You know, like you don't want to like overuse him throwing the football every throw because they're like, hey man, like enough of the football throwing, you know, or something like that. Right. And then you have, like I said, then you have like an ad agency there that's wanting it to be done a certain way. And then you have like the production, which is me. And then you have all the people there. So we're all trying to work together to make the most effective ad possible where, like I said, when I was working with Coors Light, it was pretty simple, right? Like direct contact to the guy that's throwing the event and you're just out there having fun, shooting it and trying to make it, you know, just trying to document the event is, you know, it's, I miss those days, but I also like these ones too. It's interesting because the amount of stress that comes with the bigger projects, right? So where like back in the day when I was younger and stuff, it was like, oh, cool. Made $1,200 tonight for just shooting for fun. You know, it's like, you miss those days, but then you're also like, yeah, but I'll miss being poor. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I hope that kind of answered your question. If that was on the right path, different a little bit to, that's what I say, like videography is almost like a different industry than right. Like commercials. And then you'd have like film and TV, which we have done films. Like I've worked on plenty of films and movies of the weeks, you know, pilots for TV shows. Like I said, I have a production company and we have a post-production facility in Burbank. So a lot of people will, through my own connections, will come to me wanting to talk to me about like post-production, right? Like, because I've been, like, I really grew up in the post-production side of things in the film industry. Like my mentor, Bud Smith, he edited The Exorcist, Flashdance, you know, he's got 2 Oscar nominations, right? So like, I always gravitated I like a studio junkie. Like I like being in the studio. I've been like that since right in film school. I loved editing. So for me, it's like, that's where a lot of my strong suits are in the post-production side of things. And then when you're shooting anything, you always want to be having those discussions beforehand. Long story short, that's just kind of a lot of my connections will come through that too. People will want to kind of pick my brain, or if I can come on board and help, I'll help if I can, you know, but you know, when I'm doing the commercials, I'll do everything from like the creative at the beginning all the way to the final delivery, right?
So in your commercial business or the videography business, how did you incorporate a technology?
Well, on this one, like how did I incorporate technology just in general? Or
yeah.
Oh, okay. Like
in general, but for your videography business.
Yeah, so really in the videography business, like the technology really is just is the camera at that stage, right? Like it's like, who has the coolest camera? You know what I mean? And especially like way back where now you can get everyone can get a camera and shoot. You can do it on your phone, right? But way back in the day, like I said, in like 2009, the big breakthrough was the DSLR camera. Well, that means that you could put film lenses, like somewhat like nice lenses on your actual 5D, Canon 5D. So that was a big deal because it could shoot video. So when you're in that world of videography, you can kind of get caught in who's going to buy the nicest camera. And then you get stuck in this cycle of like buying a new camera. And it can almost be in like every year you're stuck in the cycle of buying a new camera. And then people are trying to hire you because like, oh, what camera do you have? What camera do you have? Right. So like for me, like I don't do that. Like when I do shoots now, we just rent or our cinematographer will come with a camera. So back in the, if you're in the videography game, yes, having a nice camera, the technology there is really what's going to kind of probably elevate your career a little bit quicker than other people. And obviously your talent with it, right? And then post-production technology is always evolving in that. So you got to really be on top of what is hot in post-production, especially if you're doing like club videos or music videos, right? You want lots of effects in there. So you got to be on top of all that kind of stuff. Where I'm at now with the company, I don't really do videography gigs anymore. It's just where I started. If I do, I would just bang it off to like one of our PAs or like an intern or something. Just be like, hey man, this is easy. Go shoot this, have fun. You know what I mean? You can't really make a mistake. You're just going to shoot and then cut to music. Like it's very easy in that sense. But now in the world that I'm in, the commercial we just did that I was telling about with Justin Herbert, so that we integrated, I guess you'd want to call it like cutting edge technology, which is called XR. So that's extended reality, right? This is a big thing in the film industry. I don't know if you've seen that the new like Star Wars show on Disney, like the Rogue One or the, I can't remember the name of it. Anyways, XR is kind of what's replacing green screen. So it's very complicated. It's cutting edge because everyone knows that that's the future of filmmaking. So we integrated that into the commercial we just did with Justin. So because Justin's supposed to be playing in front of like an entire crowd at SoFi, like to do that and bring that in, it's like, you wouldn't even like, it's expensive, right? Like what are you getting, like 20,000 extras? You know what I mean? Like it's like the client doesn't have money for that. Right. And then like Ted Lasso, that show, they have the budget, but they still synthetically replace the crowd with digital crowds. Right. So you're seeing that now on TV shows where you're like, well, how did they get those shots in the audience? Well, it's like a lot of it's digital, fake people, right? That they just integrate in every shot. Again, that's very complicated and time consuming on set. So in my scenario where I was in a bit of a crunch is that it's like, I only had Justin on set for 8 hours. So I don't have time to bring him to SoFi Stadium. And then in post-production later, digitally implant a crowd. Because of like, it takes, you have to set those shots up and then they have to be correct. And that takes up more time on set. So we decided to go into XR, which was a bit of a risk because XR really isn't proven yet. It's very new. And what XR is that you're shooting, there's two ways you can do it. You can shoot it like they did in the first Avatar where there's a green screen behind you. Mm-hmm. But when you look through the monitor, you could see like the Avatar world. And you're like, okay, that's very, very basic, right? Now where it's at is that you're actually shooting in front of massive LED walls. And why that's better and why people are more leaning into that is because of the backlight. So you're getting real-time backlight coming off of the LED wall. Like it's like being in front of a TV. Like that light is going to actually leave the real shade on my hair or like with these guys, their helmets, right? So they're, keep in mind, with all technology, it's the right tool for the job. So it's not like green screen is going to be like, oh, we're never using green screen again. Well, no, we have a green screen shot in our commercial because it was the right tool for that shot. So everything in film is always get the right tool for the job. And the same thing is for cameras. So with this shoot, the right tool for the job was shooting XR. So we have at Orbital Studios, they have a massive sound stage with 60-foot LED walls by 60 feet long, like on a curve, right? Like kind of like a half dome. And then we laid down real, like we laid down turf, like AstroTurf. And then on the back, we digitally made SoFi Stadium with packed in a crowd. So like when you're there on the soundstage, you're like everyone was like, whoa, this is crazy. It's like you're actually at a stadium because the stadium is being projected on the wall behind you. So it's like, you feel like you're actually in the environment opposed to just having a green screen behind you. And then when you look through it through the lens, there's like a little puck that comes on the camera that talks to the screen, because when we're looking through the lens, that has to match the background. So when you're shooting, you'll see like this big square, like you'll like behind the, say the LED walls behind me, then you'll see this square moving around. And that's telling you what the camera is seeing. But then when you look through your monitor, it'll look like it's in real life. Because as XR, it's called parallax, right? So if we're here, this is parallax. I'm sitting here looking at you. And when I move, the background moves, right? Yeah. So that's parallax. Yeah. So in green screen world, it would just look like this, right? Like I would just be moving. The background wouldn't move. So later you would have to track your background to follow your object, right? So it's like XR, it's doing it in real time. The camera is reading the screen and the subject. So when he moves and the camera moves, everything moves with it, like you would be shooting it practically. So it's like major leap in technology with filmmaking right now. And that's why you're seeing like Star Wars, all the new Star Wars, like they have those epic sunset shots. And it's like, well, how'd they get that? Well, it's like, that's not real. That's all done in XR. And you can tell because the lighting is beautiful. They have the natural backlighting. That's the whole thing. It's expensive, but it's not as expensive as like renting out SoFi Stadium and trying to put, you know, 20,000 people in it. It's not as expensive as renting out SoFi Stadium and then having digital people put in. So it's under, and it's, but it's more expensive than just like, say, green screening, right? So it's like, it's kind of in between there. But again, it comes down to, it really comes down to like the tool for the job. So in this case, on this shoot, we were able to shoot all Justin's football scenes in one space, right? He didn't have to move anywhere. He literally stood in the same place all day. And we got to shoot a bunch of different coverage of him playing football. So that's super efficient, very fast. You set one lighting look, it's there for the day. So it's extremely fast way to shoot. XR though, like again, it's untested. If you don't have the right people around you, it can fail very quickly. It's, you know, but luckily I work with my friend Jason, I was telling you about his company in China, they do that a lot. So I brought his team in and we partnered together to do it. So we killed it. Like for us, it was just like, it was nothing, but I think a lot of other people would probably struggle if you don't have the experience. Fortunately for me and Jason, he definitely has that experience. He brought that to the table. So it became like a perfect partnership. So yeah, we were able to do that. And then on top of it, we were able to build a second sound stage that we were able to make it look like Justin was in like his parents' living room and then in his personal living room. So we were able to shoot two additional scenes with him because, you know, TCL is TVs. They wanted him watching the TV. So instead of having to move the entire crew to like an apartment nearby or a house, we just built it in another stage right next to the XR. So like literally he's like playing a football game and then we're like, all right, we're wrapped on that. Let's get him over here. And he just walks over here and now he's in an apartment, you know what I mean? Or in a house, you know what I mean? So it was like, we got to shoot all this footage with Justin in different locations in 8 hours, right? So that was like a huge benefit to XR and working on a soundstage and, you know, all that. So again, it's budget dependent, but in my personal opinion, XR is definitely the future, right? Like that's not going away. It's only going to get better. Yeah. And it looks amazing. You guys can check it out. It's playing on TV right now. It's on the internet, on YouTube and all the social channels, and just type in like TCL Justin Herbert commercial and you'll see it pop up, you know? But yeah, so that was like their answer your question, like around technology. Yes. In our industry, very much you want to be on top of what's the newest technology and is this just a gimmick or is it actually progressing filmmaking? Right. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
I think I should ask. I'm keen on technology, and this is really interesting for me. Something really interesting. I really enjoyed this. Let me know, like, what could be the challenges in this field? Like, when we are reaching towards this technology, yeah, I can understand a better crew is the must-have thing.
Yeah.
to run this XR environment. But what are the other challenges or problems you are facing right now, or maybe like you think these are the upcoming problems in this field?
So the biggest challenge is it depends on what you're doing. So you have to look at XR so a lot of people are excited about it, right? So you have a lot of people being like, oh, let's shoot XR. But again, it's a tool. So you have to look at XR from the position of why, when you're on set, you should be asking yourself, why are we here? And the answer should be because we can't do it anywhere else. Like that should be your answer. It's not, oh, because it's because if you want to shoot in a kitchen, like say if you wanted to shoot in a living room or a kitchen, then just go shoot in a practical living room or kitchen, right? But it's like for us, like we wanted to shoot in SoFi Stadium. Well, it's like, we can't do that anywhere else, right? With a packed audience, right? So it's like, that's why we chose XR. So then the challenge that comes with that is that like, you have to be realistic with what you're doing. So it's like a lot of clients hear about XR and they think it's going to be a cheaper solution to filmmaking. So it's going to save them money, right? That's what they're thinking. But that's not true. Again, it's a tool. So it's like I said, like, with my clients, he's like when we were putting this shoot together, they kept trying to throw ideas at me like, oh, let's utilize the XR. And I was like, well, we're shooting in a stadium. And they'd be like, yeah, but let's try and put other scenes in there. And I was like, well, what kind of scenes? And then they were throwing out ideas. And I was like, well, let's just go shoot that practically. And they're like, well, we're only there for the day. Why don't we just do it there? I'm like, because then it won't look good. Like it'll look fake, right? Like, oh, I want to make it look like he's at a kitchen. It's like, all right, well, then we'll like put like a kitchen in front of him. And then behind it will just be like this weird digital background. Like it just won't look realistic, right? So it's like the challenges there are still like the rendering of what goes on the wall, that looking realistic. So there's still boundaries to that. Like what looks real, what starts to look fake, right? So like, on like the XR wall, like the big LED wall, like sunsets look really good, you know, landscape, you know, skies, like, or something that's like very artsy or not meant to be reality. It could be like you're in a spaceship or something, right? Again, like an audience like that, it works for that. But again, like if we were just wanting to like shoot like someone cooking in a kitchen, it's like, well, then your background of your kitchen's gonna look kind of 3D. So they're not quite there with creating that stuff yet. It probably will get to that point, like more higher end 3D renders will get better and they'll just continue to look better. And then the other challenge is like finding the people that can actually build it, right? Because everybody here in LA, like a lot of people have stages, right? Like a lot of people have XR stages with, they've spent a lot of money on building these LED walls and making their stage look really beautiful and nice, but they don't have the people to actually put it on the wall that know how to do it. So it's like you have like three teams now, and that's kind of a challenge, right? You have you find the stage, and then you're dealing with the location. And then that location hopefully has good Unreal Engine, because Unreal Engine is the software that uses that dictates it, right? So you have to have good operators. So does the location have good Unreal Engine operators, or do you have to bring in your own? And then, so labor becomes a problem, right? And then not only if you have the operators, okay, well, who created the digital background? Do they know how to create that in a way that A, looks really good? And then B, is it light? And what I mean by light, like, is it light on the system? Because as soon as you put that on the computers and project it onto the walls, it starts weighing down your computer like crazy. And then you hook a camera up to it that in real time has to keep up with the movement and what's happening, interacting with the screen, that again weighs down the computer. So you have to have the people that know how to like build something like a stadium looking very high tech and looking like it has to look real, right? The goal is for it to look real. So they have to make it look real, but it not be so realistic looking that now it is super heavy on the computer system where you can't even shoot, because it's like, then it's all jittery, right? Like the background will look like it's skipping, right? So that's why I say, like, all that's still being worked out now. But yes, like, if I was to recommend anybody who is wanting to, like, do a shoot in XR, it's like, hey, like, do your research and really look into it, because it's not like flipping on a switch. You're not just like, oh, there we're good. You know, like, no, like, a lot of problems come up. Like, with this shoot, we had 2 days of prep. We had 2 days of prep, and then that wasn't even, like, we got it done, that but like, we should have had, like, three days of prep, 4 days of prep, easy, of just figuring out all the bugs of the stadium and things that we had to, like, take off and turn back on. And it was stressful at times, for sure. Like, the product came out looking amazing, but it's by no means anywhere near just, like, flipping on a switch, especially when you're working on a budget. Yeah, if we were Disney and we had unlimited funds, yeah, go to town. But when you're working on, like, a budget, you don't have that luxury, right? So, like, the biggest challenge is still the technology of all of it is still being worked out. It's very much, like, hand in hand with, like, what's going on with AI right now, right? Like, a lot of the AI that's being created, they're all kind of at the same place. Like, they're moving fast, but they're still figuring out a lot of bugs, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I guess you mentioned, obviously, technology is a challenge, but what about scalability? It's like, you know, if we're going to talk in 1 year from now, what does that look like for you in terms of scaling this company? I mean, are you looking to, you know, work more with your current clients, or, you know, reaching more clients? Like, what is your goal?
So, like, scalability in that sense is, yes, continuing to work with the current clients and offering maybe other things that that we're not doing with them. So, for example, right, like the TCL commercial, right? So I shot a bunch of behind the scenes explaining how we did this commercial because we were using this cool technology of XR. So I, like, in ideally it'd be like, hey, let's sell that as an addition to the client, which is, hey, we can show this really cool behind the scenes series that you can use for your social media, right? Because it's like, we're there anyways, right? So let's shoot as much as we possibly can. Like, not just shoot the commercial, but, like, let's shoot behind the scenes and let's just try and maximize that as much as we can. And then that they could use that as well, right? Like, they can use that as marketing materials, right? Like, for all their social stuff. So really, I'm really more pushing clients towards that aspect of things, because I personally think it starts to open up a more exciting world of creativity, because we're marketing anyways, we're marketing these products. So marketing takes, like, creativity, right? And new ideas and ingenuity, like, you know, I don't know, what's the word, ingenuity, to get your product out there. So it's like, how can we take advantage of that time that you're spending all this money on set? Like, how can we milk that? Like, yes, we get stills. Yes, we get some BTS. Yes, we're going to shoot your commercial. Can we do real-time social posts? You know what I mean? Like, is there things that we can add to this because we're paying for it anyways? You know what I mean? So that's kind of, like, one way that I think is a good direction, not only for my company, but for my clients to go as well, is just to maximize that, because it saves the money in the end of the day. And also too, it's like, it makes the creativity much funner too. Like, we can start thinking outside the bubble of just what the commercial is going to be. We can start to go, oh, then what would the BTS be? What are the still photos going to be? What is the social layout going to look like? You know, it starts to, like, expand the creativity of how to launch your product, right? So that is a way to go. And then in terms of, like, another way of growth would be this. Me and Jason were just actually talking about this yesterday, is starting to go after more clients with our ability to be able to shoot XR. Like, because there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of people, a lot of production companies that say they can do it or that can do it. But again, there's so many pitfalls in it right now, right? Like, it's not just like, hey, let's go do it. Like you really have to know what you're doing, because if you don't, like, you know, your client's not going to give you, like, if you screw up, like, the client's not going to pay to do another commercial. Like, you have to pay that, right? Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm the one who's like, ah, don't worry, we'll shoot this XR, and then I, like, ruin the commercial because of what I said we can do and I couldn't do. Like, the client's not going to be like, oh, no problem. We'll just, how much more money you need? You know, that's not how life works. You know what I mean? So I think it's will be a good opportunity to like grow the business that way, is take what we did with this commercial, showing it to other potential clients, of like stepping into that world if needed. And yeah, just kind of growing the business in that sense. And then more on the aspect of me as a director, wanting to grow and work with other companies as well, like coming on as a director and working on their projects or offering post-production services, like, you know, like, and doing things from that aspect of it. So I'm not just choosing one of those aisles. I'm kind of just doing it all, you know?
Makes sense.
Yeah, like a guy that I met with who has a really successful production company here in LA, like he's like very much at like the top, right? And I was talking to him. I was like, you know, I'm kind of at a point in my career where like I have a production company. We're doing fine. It, you know, we're making good stuff. And then me as a director, like I want to grow my career as a director, like to get more into film and television. I still love doing commercials. You know, like I'm kind of at this like in between right now in my career. Like, where do I go? Do I just like go all in with the production company and do that? Because that could work, but it doesn't really sound that exciting to me. Like, I'm not like super passionate about that. It starts to become more of like a job, right? And then I go, but the directing side, if I go totally that way, now that becomes more of like a pipe dream. It's like, yes, there would be a lot of payoff to like, yeah, I'm a director, right? But I don't think I would be financially as successful as I am now in that sense, right? And so it's more of a risk in that direction. So I was like, you know, it's, you know, like, I don't know. And he just went, I would just do them both. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, just do both of it, man. He's like, just be the guy that is the director that has a production company and that has a production company that is a director. He's like, just do it both. He's like, don't do one without the other, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I could do that. And he's like, yeah, man, this is the film industry. There's like no rules, right? And I was like, yeah, it was really good word that he gave me on that. And I was like, okay, cool. Because I've kind of always been like that, right? Like I was around from when YouTube started, and I was all, like, I remember pitching TV shows in Canada where I was like, oh, I got a web series. And it was like, everyone was like, web series, weird. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't like a cool thing to have, you know? It was like, when you're talking to executives, they're like, web series, it sounds made up, like, you know. But now, like, everybody, like, people are going to web for their series because there's more of an audience, right? So, and I was like acting and directing those little shorts that I was doing. Granted, they're not as good as they are as my work is now. I was still learning, but my point is that I was doing it and I was feeling like ashamed that I was like, maybe I'm doing too much, or do I look like an idiot talking to these people that I'm like, oh, I'm an actor, director, producer, I have a production company, I have a web series that I wrote. Like, do I look like someone who doesn't know where they want to go? Do I look like I'm just kind of wandering, right? And I kind of let that insecurity when I was younger hold me back. And then now that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's like shooting, editing, acting, doing their own thing. That is the way, right? To gain an audience, right? So I was like, oh man. So then when this man said this to me a couple of weeks ago when we met, I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. Like, I'm kind of still taking on that same mentality of like, this is weird. And I'm like, no, this time I'm actually going to lean into it, that no, I'll just be the guy that, you know, that has that's a director, that has a production company and a production company owner that has it, that is a director. I'm just going to do them both because it's just going to be more the way of the future of the film industry. More and more people are going to gather more and more skill sets, and that's what they're going to get hired for. So I was like, all right, good advice. I'm just going to lean into it.
Makes sense. No, yeah, that's good. It's good to have that flexibility. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles? Best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, best way to get in contact with me is, you can hit me up on Instagram. It's Thailand Productions. That's Thigheland. So Thailand Productions. And that's just, you're going to type that in and it'll come up. And then the website is thailand.com, Thigheland.com. And then there's a contact on there as well. And, you know, info@thailand.com is always a way to get a hold of me too. So yeah, you just send it to like social, and I'm Roy Thai. right? So spelled T-I-G-H-E. If they can find me on Instagram or on Facebook or something, they can send me a message and I'm happy. I have people do that, you know, and talk to them and take Zoom meetings with them or whatever, right? I've hired a PA like that once actually before.
Well, Roy, I want to say thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. And we're rooting for you as you continue to grow your career.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Dan. I didn't meet you, by the way. What was your name?
Kasim.
Oh, Kasim. Nice to meet you. Roy.
Likewise.
All right. Thank you guys.
Thanks. All right. Bye.